I'm sure that I'm not the only person who had a discussion with his partner about whether their son should be allowed to play rugby, and it was a fairly heated discussion at times. I objected less than Simon's mother, who didn't want him to play rugby at all. In the end, we allowed him to play rugby, and he got quite badly injured quite soon into his rugby career. And it is a discussion that parents have, and it is a discussion which causes some, shall we say, friction. But there are families that have forbidden their son to play, or their sons to play rugby. There are others who welcome the chance for their son to play rugby and thinks it's an important part of character formation and so on. I was emailed a couple of days ago the abstract of a review published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, which warns that steps need to be taken to ensure the safety of children who play rugby. The review of available evidence was carried out by the Institute of Health and Society at Newcastle University and found further evidence to support the recent call to remove tackling and other forms of harmful contact from school rugby. The lead author of the study, Professor Alison Pollock, she is director of the Institute of Health and Society at Newcastle University, on the line to us now. Touchscreen doesn't seem to be working, so let's use the mouse. Alison, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
When you say remove tackling and other forms of harmful contact from school rugby, are you talking about making school rugby touch rugby and no more than that?
Well, we are. We're talking about a fundamental change to the rules of school rugby. And the reason is, it's very interesting you had this debate with your partner about your child, because the reason why it gets so heated is so few parents have the real information about the real risks of injury. And I think if I told you that your child had a 1 in 4 to 1 in 3 chance of being injured over the course of the season, and a 1 in 10 chance of having at least 1 week away from play in that season, then you might have had a different take. Very high risk and rate of injury. But secondly, if I told you that concussion, the risk of serious injury, was quite significant, and in particular that concussion accounts for 1 in 4 of all, up to 1 in 4 of all youth rugby injuries. And it's one of the most commonly reported injuries, is the injury to the head. And it's a really common cause of children having to have time away from school in the short term, memory loss, even seizures. And in the longer term, of course, it can have very serious sequelae, because in the long term, any prior head injury significantly increases the risk of dementia and also and Alzheimer's disease and even Parkinson's. So you might, when you look back on the data, have a very different response when you're debating should your child play or not play school rugby. And the whole problem is that most injuries occur during the tackle. So you've got a 1 in 4, 1 in 5 chance of being injured in a season, but nearly 60 to 70% of those injuries are during the tackle and other collision situations.
But it's a contact sport. There's a 1 in 10 chance, and that's 10%. It's not particularly high odds that your son might have to miss a week of school because of a rugby injury. And, I mean, is that sufficient motivation to say to somebody who wants to play rugby, don't do it?
We're talking about a 1 in 4 chance of being injured. Now, children may go back with broken legs very quickly, or broken arms, or broken collarbones. But those injuries, and even concussions, children are being sent back far too soon. And we know that any injury can be very serious for a child. I mean, a fracture is not an insignificant injury, neither is a ligamentous tear. In fact, injury is one of the most common reasons for children giving up the sport. So the other way to look at this is that you as a parent and you as a school have a special duty of care. Under the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, you have a duty to protect your child, to promote their well-being. So if you thought your child had a 1 in 4 chance of being run over on the way to school, or a 1 in 10 chance of actually needing a week off as a result of being run over on the way to school, you would have a very different attitude to whether you let your child cross the road or go to the way they went to school. The same as they went on a school trip. If children were returning from their school trips and their hill walks with these rates of injuries, you would be saying something very, very loudly. And yet every week we know hundreds of children are being injured on the school rugby pitches and suffering quite serious short and long-term consequences. Because most injuries in rugby actually have serious consequences. A fracture is not a trivial thing. A torn muscle or torn ligaments are not inconsequential.
Yeah, I mean,
these injuries can be life-changing.
I have personal experience of this. I had a very bad injury at under 15 level in rugby, which 40 years later is still plaguing me. And when we took my son to casualty after he got injured, the casualty waiting area was littered with boys in rugby shorts and rugby shirts who were there waiting to be treated. I mentioned, Alison, a little earlier in my program that I was going to be having this discussion with you. And one of our listeners, Elsa, emailed me to say, the boys leave school and are immediately absorbed by provincial clubs or junior national level teams, and it would be absolutely ludicrous to only expose them to tackles at that late point. And makes the point that you need better training on how to make a tackle and how to absorb a tackle, because if you're going to play rugby in adult life, and the tackle is part of rugby in adult life, you need to learn how to do it at junior level or not.
Well, I think the first point is that most children that play rugby never play after the age of 18. So very few actually go into the professional game. You're talking about handfuls or hundreds compared with the many thousands that play in school. The second point is there's absolutely no evidence at all that exposing a child to early tackles, even with training, actually reduces their risk later on in life. There are no studies that actually show that. And in fact, what you're doing is exposing them to unnecessary harms when most of these children will never play later on. So I think that's the two points to remember. Most of the children who play never go on to play again. There's no evidence that exposing a child to early tackle with training actually stops injuries later on and stops injury, none at all. That actually, if anything, you're exposing them to harms which will eventually make them actually give up the game and actually impede either their educational attainment or their ability to play other sports and games as well. And an injured child is actually very disturbed because they can't engage with their education in the same way, and actually they're sitting around because they actually can't do physical activity either.
I've just got another email from another listener, Bruce, who takes me to task for describing rugby as a contact sport and reminds me that he heard somebody on our radio station a couple of years ago referring to rugby not as a contact sport but as a collision sport.
That's right.
Certainly if one looks at the senior levels of rugby, it's very much that.
Yes, and I think that's the way to think about it. It is a collision sport, and in scrums and tackles, it can be the equivalent of being knocked over by a double-decker bus. And I've talked about that in my book, Tackling Rugby, What Every Parent Should Know About Injuries. And we actually set out, this is a collision sport with a great deal of force, even in young children. And there is some evidence to suggest that the tackle in the younger age actually can result in even more serious injuries.
I've got another SMS, which I suspect represents a fairly significant slice of opinion of the people listening to us talk now. And it reads, "Oh, please, I played rugby throughout school and not once got injured badly and not once experienced other players with bad injuries." There is an enormous amount of social investment, cultural investment into schoolboy rugby. I'm sure it is exactly the same in the UK, in those areas where rugby is the dominant sport rather than soccer. And certainly it's a massive part of a particular part of South African culture, schoolboy rugby. There's an enormous amount of interest in school derbies between, in Cape Town, Paul Boys High and Paul Gym, for example, between Sachs College and Bishops and so on. It's not going to be easy to change people's opinions on this.
No, it's not, and that's why we've got to put the child's interest before the game. This is a big corporate sport. It's a global sport now. It's worth billions of pounds or billions of dollars, rand, every year. And the big pity is that it's the global sport that's determining the rules of the game for children. And actually what we need to do is have a complete separation. The game should not be governed by World Rugby. It should be actually under the jurisdiction of the local education authorities and the government, because they have the primary duty of care to the child. World Rugby is really only ultimately interested in A, growing its fan base, so that's why it likes so many children to play and parents to watch, and B, recruiting handfuls of people from the many hundreds of thousands that play into the professional game. But, you know, these children are discarded very, very quickly. It's like the wheat and the chaff. And so therefore, we need to have a really serious look. And the first thing to do is to really look at the evidence base around the real risks of injury, collect the data, look at the real impacts of tackle, and start to take this very seriously. And the game has to change for children. We have a primary duty of care under the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child to look after our children. And we do it in every other walk of life, whether it be cleaning their teeth at night or making sure they cross the road safely or making sure they go on school trips which are properly chaperoned. So why aren't we doing it for this game? And here we're putting the interests of the corporate sport before the child.
Thank you very much, Professor Alison Pollock, Director of the Institute of Health and Society at Newcastle University.